Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Josie Rourke. Appreciate the message. In the middle of our storm, the Lord Jesus Christ can calm it. And I wanted to give you just a word. You notice that the doors are up. They're still doing some adjusting on those. And you'll notice some places around. I see them up here where they're patching sheetrock again. And that's only because when one part gets in, they mess up some others. And so just be patient with us on that. You'll notice that our glass in the doors are as clean as it's ever going to be. I had Barney Bear cleaning all those before the service in every all six of those doors, and I don't think you'll find a fingerprint on one. And if that doesn't make sense to you when you leave, you'll see that the windows aren't there. So, it's a joy to be in church today, and if you could just get you to settle in, I want to preach to you for just a few moments, a different type of message. Just want the Lord's Word to do His work in your heart, and for some reason, it just seemed like the Lord had... I've read, of course, this psalm that we're going to look many different times, and I've alluded to it. I don't know if I've preached from it. I probably have sometime in the past on this message, but just seemed like the Lord was moving since last week. If you were here last Sunday night for the Good Shepherd Children's Home, had a wonderful service. The Lord blessed and wonderful ministry. We hope to have them back sometime for some events that we'll have and get you to know more about the ministry. But Mike, or Robert, the director, had mentioned just in passing about Psalm 46, how you be calm in the middle of storms. And just the Lord just kind of kept that thought on my heart. And then I dove into it this week, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. And I certainly want to see what the Lord would do this morning. So if you find your place in Psalm 46, we'll look and we'll read the whole psalm. It's not that long, but it's a little longer than I usually read. But Psalm 46, while you're finding your place in Psalm 46, I did hear this story about this son. Boy, he didn't like his country boy. He didn't like his raising at all. He thought he was wanted to be the city boy. He lived out in the country. He didn't have running water, except like that one fellow said, yo, ran every time I got in a bucket and I ran up to the house when mom needed it. But he didn't have running water, didn't have a lot of the common things that we would have now, modern, and one of the things he didn't have was an inside toilet, and so they had an outhouse, and he was just frustrated because he'd heard those other boys talk. He'd get on the school bus, and he'd heard them talk and knew that how other folks live. He was just so frustrated. He was wanted to be more sophisticated. So one time he got so upset, he just got out there, and he pushed the outhouse over. Those of you who don't know what an outhouse is, we don't have time to tell you this morning, but it's the precursor to some things that you have in your house. But pushed that outhouse over, and it was right beside a creek, just went over in the creek. And he don't know why he did it, just mad that he lived in this country town, country home, country out in the sticks, and just pushed it over. And later that day, his dad came over. He said, Bub, son, he said, did you push the outhouse over in the creek? He said, yeah. He said, well, do you think I was right? No, Dad, I shouldn't have done it. He said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'm telling you truthfully, I did it, but I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. So his dad, like a country dad would, he took his belt off and he said, well, we're going to have to go out behind the woodshed and we're going to have to take care of it because I told you not to mess with that. And he said, but Dad, he said, we learned in school the other day that George Washington, he cut the cherry tree down. And then when he was asked about it, he told the truth and everything was fine. And how come he told the truth and everything happened okay for him? I told the truth. I told you I pushed it down, but it doesn't happen that way for me. George Washington didn't get anything. He said, son, George Washington's dad wasn't in the cherry tree when he cut it down. So, God bless you for coming to church today. So, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. Are you there? A very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Heavenly Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that you would comfort your people. For some reason, you seem to lead me to this passage or this psalm throughout this week and hovered over me with it. And I trust, dear Lord, that you'd bless the people with it. Be with us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I, like you, have been to many funerals, and oftentimes I'll see that a family member will think their ability is there to get up and speak at the funeral, but their emotions just overcome them, and it won't allow them. But I've seen on many, many occasions where another family member will come up to the loved one that's trying to get through some prepared speech, and although they cannot get through it, when that other family member comes and puts their arm around them and gives them that moral support, gives them that comfort, just says, I'm here for you. Sometimes I've seen it where a whole line of siblings would just all come up and gather around to support the one that was trying to get through some prepared statements. And then that person is often able to deliver their remarks because they've got some help, they've got some refuge, they've got some strength, they've got some people that are there for them. I remember when we were going to Iowa for the first time to visit, my wife and I, we were driving out through there, and this horrendous storm came up, and winds were blowing, and hail was coming, and the rains were coming down, and so much so that long ago everybody put on their flashers, and you know, I'm from West Virginia, I think this isn't going to bother us, we're just going to go on, and we're just going to make it through, we can go. And then that only lasted about the next 5 minutes, and then we started thinking, maybe West Virginia people can't drive out here either. And so we finally took refuge, we took shelter, so to speak, like about everybody else was. It wasn't a very crowded road, but about like everybody else was, out of this overpass, under the overpass, because we were afraid, number one, of hitting somebody. We were afraid of it getting hit. We're afraid of some hail damage, or we're afraid of something blowing through those Midwest fields that didn't have any protection, just as flat as all get out. So we were afraid that something would blow on us. So we got in the refuge because we needed someplace to be safe. And my friend, I don't know about you, but I do know what's happening in many people's lives that I love today. And what's happening in many of our lives is this. We feel like we're being beat from every side. It seems like if it's not problems at work, it's problems in the home. If it's not problems at home, it's problems in the neighborhood. If it's not problems there in the immediate family, it's problems outside in the extended family. If it's not problems there, it's interpersonal it's personal problems of yourself. You just got struggles one and the other. I'm telling you, my friend, as we look at Psalm 46, we see that God promises you and promises me to be a refuge and strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. And I want to look at three things today as we breakthrough. If you looked at that, as you read through, you saw that psalm was divided in three. Each section had the word Selah after that section, the first few verses, and then the second few, and then the last. And that just means pause and think about that. Or maybe if you would be thinking, if you say it like this, hey, just dwell on that for a little while. Ponder that. Think about that. Pause and reflect about that. I want you to look at verses 1, 2, and 3 and see that he is our refuge. In this day of constant barrage of attacks, we need a refuge. You don't have to look. You can watch the news or you can not watch the news. You might be better off. I like what that one fellow said, that the newscasters come on and they say, first thing they say is good evening. Then they proceed to tell you why it isn't a good evening. But you may watch the news. You may hear everything. You may hear all the stuff that's going on, struggles within your family. I've never seen the like, not necessarily in our church, although it happens here as well, but I've never seen the like of families fighting amongst each other about things that don't seem to matter, as the old farmer would say, amount to a hill of beans, but they seem to fight about different things. I'm telling you this morning that God is our refuge and our strength, and our refuge is so sure that it drives out fear. And my friend, I'm telling you this morning, if you find yourself plagued and crippled with fear, this is not a magic pill that you can take, but I would admonish you this morning to dwell more with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says, I am a very present help in the time of trouble, and we see that he's our refuge. I want you to look at those words, excuse me, as we see in the scripture says, a very present help. That means it's some right now help. Now, I love great preachers, and they'll say, well, one of these days, when we get to the other side, it's going to all be good. And I love the songs that say it will be worth it all. And I know that one of these days, there'll be a rest and a haven for the people of God, and we'll be in glory and no heartache and no sin. I understand that, and I take great comfort in that. But my friend, that's not the whole story. The Bible says, not only is that true, that there is a heaven to come. There is a time when we want to worry about problems and difficulties and sin. But that's not the whole story. The Bible says that he is a very present help. Meaning you got some heaven to go to heaven in. That home of yours ought to be a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. A church that you can come and shake off the trials of the world for a little while ought to be a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. That time in the morning or in the evening or whenever you get the chance to get in the Word of God, that time, that devotional time, that me time, that personal time, that God and I time, that ought to be a time when you get a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Because the Bible, my friend, says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the trembling, with the swelling water. My friend, it still says in verse number 1 that he's a very present help. That means right now. That means he's your long-term plan and your short-term plan. That means he's your going to be out of this mess one of these days when we get to heaven plan. And he's also your plan of while you're smack dab in the middle of the mess and doesn't seem like there's any relief in the near future. I'm telling you this morning, my friend, that he is our refuge. I read of some Norwegian missionaries that served in China in the 50s. Marie Monson gave a report afterwards, an interesting story. They had a compound that was not very secure, but as best they could do. And they had some enemies that were outside, some, I don't know what you'd call them, just they were soldiers, but they were just interested in their own advantages, and so they were just looting places and coming through. Well, these missionaries had gone back into their poorly equipped compound, which really wasn't strong enough to hold them. Those soldiers came to the wall there. And the reports that Marie and the other missionaries gave, they said that they stood there for a while chanting and yelling threats and all that. And then they eventually just disbanded and went away and bothered somebody else. It was told in days to come or weeks to come that the soldiers explained to some other mutual acquaintances why they didn't break down the flimsy wall of that little compound that the missionaries were hiding behind. One of the leaders of the group said this. He said, we noticed there were tall soldiers on the wall, on the highest roof in the compounds, tall soldiers with shining faces. Marie Munson wrote, the heathen saw them. But we did not. You say, were they there? Don't know. Did God put them there so they'd be there for those enemy attackers to run? Or did just God make them believe that they were there? I don't know. I'm only giving you the story to tell you the true story of the missionary that said, we didn't see anything. But later the rebels or the soldiers said, we did not come in and break down the walls, which have been very easy for people of their size and stature. We did not break it down because we saw those tall soldiers with shining faces on the building that was taller than the rest of them in the compound, and that made us turn because we did not think that we could take it. My friend, I'm just trying to tell us this morning that he is our refuge and he is our strength. He is a very present help in the time of trouble, and we see that he's our refuge in verse number 1, 2, and 3. But would you look at verse number 4, if you will? We see not only is he our refuge, but he's also our supply. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy places of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. I give you number 1, he's our refuge. But number 2, he's our supply. This river brings many ideas when you conjures up. You think about peace and you think about tranquility, but you also think about supply. Did you ever wonder why when you go into cities, the oldest part of the city are the ones down by the river? Well, that's simply because that's how they got things moved up and down. That's how businesses worked. They would float those things, and so cities were formed along rivers because that's where the supply comes in. That's where the support from other places come in. And I see here that he's our supply. God shall help her, verse number 5. And that right early, I've mentioned to several of you already, but I'm going to camp this week in Arkansas. I'm going to preach a couple of days for the next five days or so. We'll go down and start on Monday night. It'll be 100 degrees, probably it usually is, but that's all right. It's got a high heat, but it's also got a high humidity, so that probably evens out. Don't you love when folks from Arizona say, oh, it's a dry heat? I don't think it matters after you get to 110. Dry, wet, sopping, I don't think it matters. It's hot. And so we'll be down there preaching in Arkansas, and it usually gets up to close to 100. And you know what? You know what supply I need? I need a cool place to sleep. And thankfully, all the cabins are air conditioned. You can sweat down all day long and take 4 showers and still be sweating. But it's nice. Everybody's got a place to sleep that's got air conditioning. Gives you a little reprieve, gives you a little rest. I love a cool place to sleep, and I love some cold water to drink. That's the supply we often need. And my friend, you don't have to have this pastor tell you that this world is getting pretty bad. You don't need me to tell you that there's problems on every front. You look at the scriptures when it talks about perilous times coming. You look at the scriptures as it tells that this will happen and wars and rumors of wars. You look at that and you don't even have to read the newspaper. You can look and see, wow, it spells it all out in the Word of God long before the newspapers knew to print it. My friend, I'm just telling you that you understand that this is a barren world that we live in. But the scripture says there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of gold, the city of God. And we understand that he's our refuge, but he's also our supply. And my friend, if you are not tapping into the supply on a regular basis of the Word of God, no wonder you're distraught. No wonder you're upset. No wonder you're having problems on every turn. I'm not saying that you deserve it and others don't. I'm just saying that all of us get it. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. The Bible says in the book of Job, as it talks about him, we see that Job was, so to speak, the best that God had to offer, and yet there was all kinds of issues came on him. And my friend, you're going to be the same way. And don't think that one of these days life is going to get so good that you won't have to worry about things. Don't think that one of these days it's all going to settle in and you won't have to worry about issues and problems. How many of you understand that some people, when they say, well, when we get these kids out of the house, well, I hear tell when the kids get out of the house, the grandkids come. And I think I've heard that mom or grandma spends more on them than she did the first batch. We are classic for thinking as soon as this gets done, then I can relax. My friend, when this problem, whatever, and kids are certainly not a problem, but when this problem gets done, there's another one coming. Whatever struggles you're having right now, don't fool yourself into thinking as soon as those get done, I can just kick it neutral and coast. That's not the modus operandi for this world. There's going to be something else. And so what I'm asking you this morning to do is not think that, well, I'll have it made as soon as this gets done, but realize that something else will be coming. But instead of thinking erroneously that something's going to make it easy and smooth after this is done, instead I want you to be prepared for the next storm. And the way you're prepared for the next storm is to get hooked up to the supply. If you're here this morning and your life has been a wreck and you feel like you're far away from anything that's good, wonderful, and just, and you realize that you're at your wit's end, can I tell you your answer today may not be what you think it is, but I'm going to tell you what it is, and it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've chased every other avenue down. And maybe currently chasing some down. You have chased every avenue of wellness and health and fitness and this track and that track and the other. And those are all fine and wonderful things. But you've thought that one of those would bring you peace and help and comfort and supply. But one has left you just as empty as the other did. My friend, what you are looking for is Jesus Christ. I understand that you probably know about him, but my friend, can I ask you this morning, do you know him personally as your Savior? The Bible says not only is he our refuge, but he's our supply. And I give you my last couple moments in this, verse number 8 through 11. I told you, first of all, he's our refuge. And you fast forward, you got that Selah, then you go to the next one at the end of verse number 7. Now we start the last section of this scripture. He's our refuge, he's our supply, and now we see that he's our peace. He's our peace. The Bible says, come, behold, the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He's taken care of all of our enemies. He maketh wars to cease, verse number 9. To the end of the earth, he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. One of these days, he will right every wrong. He'll rule and he'll reign. And we understand that that's a wonderful time. But my friend, in the midst of all that waiting that we're doing for the Lord to set everything right, still he gives us verse number 10. And if I could, I would get you to underline it, to highlight it, to memorize it. Memorize it, to quote it, do whatever you can do, and look at it, though, certainly in verse number 10, when it says, be still and know that I am God. And my friend, in all of the problems that you are having in your life, in all of the reckless, careless wanderings that people are doing about, I'm asking you to look at the scriptures when it says, be still. And know that I am God. Look at what it follows that up with at the end of the verse. God says, not a possibility, but an emphatic promise, I will be exalted among the heathens. Don't forget, whenever you watch the news and it looks like this world is going crazy, one person put it like this, sometimes I used to think that it was falling, the world was falling apart. Now I realize as I read the scripture, I realize it's falling into place. For God to do what God's going to do. But look at what it says after that first part of verse 10. After that part, then the middle, he says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Make no doubt about it, my friend. If you're still choosing sides, choose wisely. If you're still thinking, well, I don't know whether to get on the Jesus boat or not. My friend, the other boat is a sinking ship and it's going down to eternal destruction. Maybe you're in the valley of decision. I've been hearing about Jesus all my life, and I've been knowing about him, and I've been hearing this, but I see some other things. My friend, the truth is in verse number 10, and God says that he will be exalted among all the heathens. He will be exalted among the world. I understand that right now there are people who are thinking that somehow they are going to get one up. You know what it means to get one up? You know, they're going to get one up on God. If you notice any of that happening, it's only because of the long suffering of God is not crushing that right now. And I say that not unkindly. I say that in a warning fashion. My friend, make no mistake about it. The long suffering of God will not prevent the judgment of God to fall on all those things that are against him. But now, in this present day, in all that's going on, I'm looking at people with health issues, and I'm looking at people with some financial things, and I'm looking, and I don't know who you are, I'm just saying, I'm looking at people with problems here and problems there. You say, how do you know I got problems? Because so do I. And how do I know that you're, I don't know the specifics, but I know all of us have them. And I'm looking at people who need help. And the greatest help that I can give you is to tell you to live in verse number 10 when it tells you to be still and know that I'm God. One of the things I did to prepare for this message is not new. But one of the things I was doing early this morning was just sitting with nobody around, the Word of God, sitting, looking, letting it get into me and me get into it, reminding myself that the world may be going haywire. But my God is not surprised by any of it. I don't want to be unkind, but if you lose your job this week or I lose mine, God's still going to be in place, on his throne, ready to help us through whatever happens. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our supply, but he's also our peace. A medical doctor did a survey. Just a personal survey in his waiting room. And he asked this as people were waiting, and how many of you understand sometimes you got to wait a long time in doctor's offices? He did a survey, and he asked what they most wanted out of life. 67% of his patients who said their number one wish was peace of mind. Now, you got to understand, you're talking about people who are having some medical issue most of the time. That's why they're at the doctor's office. And almost two-thirds of the people that came in said, or it was two-thirds of the people who came in said, my number one wish would be peace of mind. And my friend, what the scriptures give all of us is peace when he says to be still and know that he's God. Let me close with this. There was two artists that were contracted to paint what they thought was peace. They were going to award at the end who was the winner. One artist painted a small boy in a little rowboat. The oars weren't in the water, and that boy was just kind of leaning back. There was not a ripple in that water. It was as smooth a summer day as you could imagine. And that boy was just leaned back, relaxed. That was the path that that artist took to try to paint peace. The other artist who won took a whole different route. He painted a raging waterfall as it came down this side of the mountain here. And the waters would crash down to the bottom. It would spray up, and that spray was just swirling around. And there was a tree that was beside that waterfall, and its limb hung way out over into that waterfall, but out of the water. And he painted a little bird in the nest. And that mama bird was obviously brooding over some eggs that were in that nest. Far away from where any predator could get, because the waterfall was going to keep her safe. And although noise was obviously crashing around, you could almost see it jump off the painting. You could almost hear, rather, the noise come off the page of that painting, that canvas, but that little bird was just at peace. Peace in the midst of all kinds of turmoil. And that, my friend, is the artist that won the competition. I'm going to give you this as you leave. I can't make your little pond or your lake clear and smooth. It's not within me. I don't have the power, neither do you for me. I can't give that to you. But I can tell you this. I can tell you that as the storm swirls around, and as the spray and mist from that water comes up around you, and I can tell you as those waterfalls are crashing down behind you, I can tell you this, you could be like that bird, safe and peaceful, protected by the Almighty, if you got your strength from Him. The Bible says in Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. What's that? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I challenge you, if you do write in your Bible, to write. If you don't, just write it on a piece of paper somewhere. Psalm 46, verse number 10, the verse that we read. Be still and know that I'm God. I can't make your life smooth this week. But I can tell you who will comfort you and make peace in the storm. He's our refuge and our strength. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Folks, I understand there's a little different message that I don't typically preach, but it just seemed like God was in it, and I'm going to trust Him. Now, Lord, I pray that You would help my friends. I know that some of them will be shy to admit, and I don't need them to admit to me. They'll be shy to admit that their life is in turmoil. But Lord, they need a refuge. They need a strength. They need a very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, they need a supply. They need the river of God that comes through. Lord, they need peace. Lord, I pray that You'd bless every heart that's in this room today. I pray that You would settle them, their nerves. I pray that You'd settle their struggles and their frustrations. And I pray that You would dish out peace, dear Lord. My friend, as we're praying, is that how you're living your life? Are you living in the midst of God's peace? Are you like that little bird that the artist painted with struggles and waterfalls all around, but at peace, just sitting there on her eggs? Are you at peace like that? Or is the world around you causing struggles in you? Be still and know that I am God. That's the words of the scripture to us this morning. We can't do anything about the storms. Even if you caused some of the storms by your previous activity, really we can't even go back and change that. We are where we are right now. And I'm challenging you to let the Lord settle your heart. And I challenge each of you as we just sit here for a little while. Miss Carmen plays and Miss Cole plays on the organ. And you sit there and think for just a little bit. I really don't know of anybody who doesn't struggle with elusive peace. So I guess I could say this is for everybody in here. Maybe you do a little better job than somebody else. I don't know. Maybe you do a good job on some instances and do a lousy job on the others. But I'm asking you to do some holy business with the Lord right there where you sit. He said in His Word, be still and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Friends, I'm afraid we're living in turmoil. And I'm asking you to accept the peace that God gives as you rely and lean and just lean way back into His arms. Christian friend, you've got to admit our life, our world rather, is going 10 ways from ordinary right now. But you can be stable, steady, set on the rock. And you can be still and know that He is God. My last plea is this. If you're here today, I mentioned in the middle of the sermon that maybe you've been looking for everything. You've been looking for peace. You've been looking for satisfaction in different things, and to no avail. My friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your life is going to be plagued with difficulty and fruitlessness and futile attempts to get any kind of peace. If you're here today and you're not sure that Jesus, you've got Him as your Savior, I'd love to ask you to come and let me or somebody show you from the Word of God how you can be sure that you're saved. Maybe you have some other need. Maybe you need to be, you say, but you need to be baptized. You want to take that first step of obedience and you'd like to come present yourself for that, then we'd be glad to see you. Maybe you need to present yourself for membership at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You've been saved and you want to join here, and you'd like to come present yourself for that. We'd be honored to have you come present yourself. Whatever your need is, in our next couple of moments, I hope and pray that you would do what God leads you to do. As they continue to play, if you're able to, would you stand together to make it easy on folks to get to this old-fashioned altar? Maybe you're here and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. No wonder you've got lack of peace. No wonder you've got difficulty. No wonder you've got problems and frets and worries and issues. Come to Jesus. as they continue to play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Would you come and do business with the Lord? Now, we thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, what a joy it is to be able to bring the hope and the peace of the gospel. And then, dear Lord, not only the gospel in far as salvation, the gospel is not done with us. The gospel is going to carry us all the way through, dear Lord. I pray that you would help us realize and look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you this last thought. Sometimes we think that when a person gets saved, that Jesus gives them peace, and he does, saves their soul. But can I tell you, that's not the last time Christ wants to give you peace. He wants to guide you, lead you, help you all the way through. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you for being in church this morning. Let me give you some great news. We are excited about these folks. We've got to meet with all of them, and they'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And just so everybody knows, what we typically do when somebody, we meet with somebody, then we see if they have any questions and see if they agree with the bylaws and the Constitution of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And our staff is trying to get busy doing those things. And so we're so excited about these good folks that have come. Jordan Wheelock has been coming for some time. He's saved and baptized, and he wants to unite in fellowship with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We are so excited about that. And then many of your friends from years ago, the Howards, have come. She used to be our piano player, and a wonderful, wonderful couple, saved and baptized, love the Lord, and they would like to join the church as well. Most all of you know them. And then also Michael Panic is right here. He's saved and baptized, and friends of the Howards as well. But we've had an opportunity to talk with him recently as well and see if he had any questions or things about the church he wanted to know. But he agrees with the bylaws and the Constitution of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church as well. They're all in agreement with all those things. It's a joy to see people join the church. And so I'd like to ask you, as a church body, a church family rather, that we receive them into membership. And so we need a motion. Brother Shannon Barker, thank you. And Brother Larry Trent seconds that. All in favor, say amen. 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 All opposed, same sign. Amen. See, that's good. Nobody giving backlash on that. So what a joy to see what God is doing. And I believe, you folks, I've already told you this, I believe we've got one last stretch until Jesus comes back. You say, oh, John, you're going to die of old age, and then somebody else will say that. They might, but it's going to surprise me. If I die of a 90-year-old, it's going to shock me so bad I'll take my breath. But I believe that God is bringing people together so we can, as a church body, as a church family, we can reach and minister to this area. I hope that all the ministering that's going on is not going on here. We're all going out there, seeing people, talking to people, giving the gospel, yes, but welcome and meeting needs and helping them. And I believe that God's gathering a group together so we can do it more effectively. What a joy to have these folks to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, if you're a guest with us this morning, visiting for the first time at our guest services center, which is that counter that's out to the left, there will be somebody waiting there. They would love to take the guest card that was in your bulletin. If you didn't care to fill it out, if you haven't already, just drop it off there. And they've got a gift for you just for being our guest this morning. I want to thank you for that. Then also, if your children are out playing in the carnival, then you've got plenty of time. They'll be out there doing that for another half hour or until you want them to go. And so you go enjoy that with them. There's, I think, snow cones and cotton candy and cotton or popcorn. You say, why didn't you tell us that earlier? I didn't want you to go earlier. So that's why I didn't tell you. And but they'll have a good time out there. Hope you enjoy all of that. And then some of you get by and greet our newest members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. What a joy it's been to be in the house of God. God bless you. You're dismissed.